The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and I want to read verses 15 through 24, although for our purposes this morning, we're going to be concentrating around verses 16 and 17. And I will tell you right off the bat that my purpose this morning is not to preach the main point of the passage. There is a main point of every passage, and if you carry that main point and that theme through that passage, then you get the right understanding. But with the main points of a passage, there's lots of little subpoints and subtopics that are supporting the main point. And I want to look at one of those subpoints here for our encouragement before we take the Lord's table this morning. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What shall I then say? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. The first of every month, we have the joyful privilege and the sobriety of participating as a church body in the Lord's table. And I think sometimes as Baptist people, we lose the sense of the purposes of the Lord's table. There seems to be two approaches to the Lord's table among God's people that are unscriptural. The first way to approach the Lord's table is really a Roman Catholic way. And that would be a way that says that the partaking of the grape juice and of the wafer or the bread, that the partaking of this food does effect or communicate grace to the ones that partake it. In other words, and believe it or not, I found that there are some Baptist people who actually believe this, even though they would not say it with their mouths, but they do it by their behavior. This person would say, when I take that bread, that bread literally becomes the body of Christ. And by the partaking of that literal body of Christ, and I ingest that, then grace is communicated unto me through the eating of, could I say this? Through the eating of that food. In like manner, they would say that when that priest says those Latin words over this drink, and in their case, they actually use wine, over that wine literally becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, when I drink that food, right, when I drink that wine, that what I am taking into my physical body is grace. And so therefore, the Lord's table, or the Eucharist, as they would call it, becomes a means of salvation. Right? In other words, if I don't partake, they call this a sacrament, not an ordinance. But they would call it a sacrament. It is a sacrament of grace, just like the sacrament of marriage and other things that the Roman Catholic system has. They would say, now, if you are, you know, if you're being a good Catholic, that is, if the church is really saving you, that one of the ways that the church saves you is by the partaking of this Eucharist, of this Lord's table. Now, if I could be so bold, the Scripture knows nothing of this type of communication of grace. Absolutely nothing. Let me prove that to you. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. When our Lord Himself talks about, in the bread of life, about partaking of His flesh and of His blood. In fact, our Lord would say, in verse 53, He would say this. He would say, listen, I am truly telling you the truth, that except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have what? No life in you. That is a pretty strong statement, isn't it? In fact, it is an offensive statement. And it was an offensive statement to the religious Jews because they reacted violently to this. And I would dare say, so would have you. In fact, look at verse 54. Our Lord Himself says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood has what? That's an amazing statement, isn't it? And so the Roman Catholic Church, when they hold up that wafer and they speak in Latin and they say, behold your God, here it is. And if you partake of that food, of that wafer, then you are partaking of His body, you are eating His flesh. And when you partake of that wine, you are drinking His what? Blood. And so therefore the communication of grace comes to you. You are a possessor of eternal life. And I said to you that the Scripture says nothing along those lines, didn't I? Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because our Lord Himself interprets what He said in verses 54 and 55. Look at His interpretation. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, that is, these words that He had said about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said, does this offend you? What and if you see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? Now, here's the interpretation, verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits what? Even His flesh. He had a flesh like us, didn't He? Okay, it was without sin. But it was a flesh like us. It was flesh and blood. You could pinch Him, He would feel it. That body had to eat. That body had to drink. That body had to sleep. That body got tired. It was a body just like whose? Like ours. And what He's saying is this. Don't you understand what I'm saying? I am speaking in spiritual language. And what I'm saying to you is this, it's not my literal flesh and my literal blood that would give you life. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing, nothing at all. And then He says this, verse 63, the words that I speak unto you are spirit. And are what? life. So when he's talking about partaking of his flesh and blood, he's talking about the partaking of his words and the partaking of his cleansing that he's going to do at Calvary by the breaking of his body. But even if you lived in the day of Christ, and even if you were at that cross, and even if you had a little cup, and when that blood dripped off the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you put your cup there and got some of that blood, and if, now you wouldn't do this because his bones were not broken, but if you could take a piece of his toe, and if you ingested that piece of that toe and of that, and you drank that blood, what would it profit you? Nothing. Nothing at all. Because what he's talking about is the eating and drinking spiritually. So as we go back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that is one side of the coin. And brethren, there are, now think about this, there are millions of people that are staking their eternal destiny on the partaking of food. That is sad, isn't it? Now there's another extreme. The other extreme is a believer, and I run across more of these in Baptist circles than I do the other ones, but a believer in a local New Testament church who says to himself, it doesn't matter whether I come and partake of the ordinance or not. And the reasoning goes something like this. Well, I'm saved by grace. Is that true? By faith. Is that true? And I'm not saved by anything that I do. Amen? Amen? So therefore, it doesn't really matter whether I get baptized or whether I partake of the ordinance of the Lord's table. Like, who cares? And I use the word ordinance and not the word sacrament. The word ordinance refers to an authoritative order. Okay. Who's the authority? Christ Jesus. Who gave the order? He gave the order. Let me show you that order. You're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go back, go over to chapter 11. Look at verse 23. Paul says to that congregation, "For I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you." So here's Paul. He goes out and he sees the work of the Spirit of God in the conversion of people. Those people come together. He organizes them into a local New Testament body, that physical, geographical arena of the church. And he says this, Jesus gave me this ordinance. I received it of the Lord. And I'm giving it to you, the church. It is an authoritative order, isn't it? In other words, Jesus gave us this ordinance, brethren, not so that we could have a comme la se, carefree, who cares if I do, who cares if I don't type of spirit. If he gave the ordinance, there is purpose in it. Right? So that purpose isn't our salvation, although it will have some saving effect if understood properly. Nor is it who cares, because it does matter. What is going on when we partake of this table as a church body? What is going on is this word. Are you ready for this word? Fellowship. I want you to look here in 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 16. the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the King James says the what? The communion or the fellowship of the blood of Christ. Everybody see that? Okay. Then he says, the bread which we break. That's what's up here at this table. The grape juice, the bread. The bread which we break, is it not the, our King James translates it consistently here, communion or fellowship of the what? Of the body of Christ. Everybody see that? Okay. So what is going on here at this table that we've got to remind ourselves about is that it is not a sacrament that is communicating saving grace to us. But neither is it like, who cares? Okay? But there is something going on at that table, and the Bible calls it fellowship. Now, what kind of fellowship is it? Well, look at verse 17. You see the first word there in that verse? It's the word for. This is a reason he's giving. Why is this the fellowship of the blood of Christ? Why is it the fellowship of the body of Christ? Because we, being many, are what kind of bread? One. And one body. Why do you say that, Paul? Because we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, what is the word that is repeated here? One. Now, he's already talked about that when he talked about that Old Testament congregation of people that came out of Egypt in chapter 10 when he says this, verse 1, all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses, all ate the same spiritual meat. Verse 4, all drank the same spiritual drink. How many of them? All of them. They were, when I say all of them, we could word it this way, one. Okay. They were seen as a corporate entity as they came out of Egypt. And they all experienced the same blessing, the same deliverance, the same gifting. They all experienced that. All right? Well, what about us? Well, it is this, that when we partake of this table, we are having fellowship. Well, what do you mean by fellowship? Well, it is this, we are having fellowship, are you ready? In the presence of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that wording? We are having fellowship in the what? In the presence of Jesus Christ. So when we come and we partake of this table and we're coming together as a church, the church was given that ordinance. As we come together with that, we're coming together having fellowship. How can we have fellowship? Well, we've all been made partakers of the bread, Christ. That's our commonality. And we are partakers of that same bread and of that same body and of that same cleansing and of that same organic union. We are having fellowship right in the presence of Jesus, the one God and Savior. He's looking upon this. He is actively engaged in watching you. Is that exciting to you? That is exciting to me. To know, now think about this, He's here. Now if He's here, That does demand something of us, doesn't it? So it is a fellowship in the presence of the one God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at it again, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, we're doing it. We're going to pray over this. We're going to partake of this. Is it not the fellowship of whose blood? Because that's what we're saying. We're saying we have been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We have partaken of that atonement. That's what makes us one. Regardless of ethnicity, regardless of our diversities, regardless of our economic levels, that's what makes us one. And, verse 16, the bread which we break. Now, Bob's already broken it, okay, in our case. But the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the what? Of the body of Christ, because we are in His body. We have been baptized. He has baptized us into His body. So it is the washing of blood, of His blood, and the washing of regeneration, and the fellowship of being organically unioned in Him. That, those two things cause us not only to have fellowship with Him, but to have fellowship with everyone else that has partaken of those two things. And so he says, verse 17, we, as plural, being how many? Many are what? We're one. We're one. And we are one in each other. So this fellowship involves our relationships. It involves the person sitting next to you. It involves the person behind you. And brethren, that is one reason why we say that all who are saved are welcome to this table, but you've got to have a loyalty to those things that we hold dear. Like the blood of Christ. Like His body. That is dear to us. The church is dear to us, isn't it? And the fact that He is alive, and it's by grace through faith. Those are the things that bring us together. It's not political persuasion. It's not economic level. It is Him that does this. Now, let me ask you this. We're fixing to partake of this. Do you know that we are one? Think about it. Do you know that we are one to the point that there is a motion inside of you? I hate to use the word you feel it, but that you know it to experience it. You know, you could have a brother turn to his wife and say, I love you. She may know it, but she wants to know it by experience. Amen? Okay? Same thing with the other way. So this is a knowledge by experience because we have been commonly cleansed. We have commonly partaken of His body, the Word of God. And there is an involvement by us and a relationship by us that is an organic union with Christ. And therefore, an organic union with each other. Now, there is a mystery about that, isn't there? I got a lot of questions about that. But nevertheless, of the questions, it is reality. And so our fellowship is there. So when we come together, we're just not saying, hey, I'm going to partake of this bread, and this bread represents Christ. Yes, that's true. Hey, I'm going to partake of this grape juice, and that represents the blood of Christ, and I've been washed from my sin. Yes, that's true, but you're missing the point if it's just I recognize it versus we. as a church body of Jesus Christ. Now, look at the passage here. Look at verse 18. Whatever this fellowship with Christ is, this was also true in the Old Testament. He reminds them and says, "Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" And the answer to that was yes. But he's going to say that the point of what I'm making isn't that the food was special. Verse 19. What say I then? And what am I saying this, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? And the answer to that is what? That is not what he's saying, though many people take it that way. That the crucifix really is something. That the Eucharist and the wafers really become something. No, it's just food. That's all it is. All right, but what is he saying? Verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice in their pagan feasts to their idols, they sacrifice to who? And not to. Okay, and let's pause here. The Corinthians were arguing for the right as Christians to participate in these pagan feasts. And what they were saying was they could go to these pagan feasts and they could participate as Christians. And they wouldn't fall. And what Paul is saying is this, there's nothing spiritual about this pagan feast at all. Because, look at verse 20 again, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Everybody see that? There's a word, communion. So, if I could just put it so plain, I'm not trying to be offensive to anyone, I'm just trying to tell you what the Scripture is saying. If I go to a false system of Christianity, if I go to a Roman Catholic service, and in that service they have the Eucharist, and they hold that wafer up, and they pray some magic words over that wafer, and they say, "This wafer is literally the body of Jesus Christ, this is your God," that's what they say. Right. Is there anything special about that wafer? No, it's just food. It's indifferent. Is there anything special about that wine? No, it's just food. It's indifferent. Well, does that mean I can go and I can get some kind of spiritual edification out of this? The Bible says no, because what's happening in that false system is there is a worship and a fellowship of devils. Because, folks, all false worship, its origin is not God. It's the devil. And, brethren, here is my understanding of this. My understanding of this is this, that we're not doing that. Hallelujah. But we are having a fellowship. And we're having a fellowship in the presence of who? Jesus Christ. And when we partake of that bread and we remember his words that speak of the brokenness of that body for my sins. When I take that grape juice and I drink it as a representation, a symbol of his blood, and I remember the verses that speak of his atonement, what I am remembering is what makes us one. And when I do that, not only am I doing it in the presence of Jesus Christ, but in some sense, I am having a fellowship with Jesus Christ through the remembrance of His words and what those symbols represent. Everybody see that? So that makes this, that doesn't make this, you know, a sacrament. Right? Nor does it make it as, who cares, I can go with it or without it. No, it is a fellowship, isn't it? And it is a fellowship with Him, and it is a fellowship one with another. And brethren, I don't understand everything about that fellowship, but I do know this. I've seen this as a pastor, that when a church takes this properly, it strengthens that body. It brings them what? It brings them together. It reminds them on what makes us one. And it is a reminder of Him, and He's coming again. So He says, verse 20, "But I say this, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of what? You can't hold both of these together. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and a table of who? Devil. You can't do that. What happens if you do that? Verse 22. Then you provoke who? And He is a jealous God, isn't He? And folks, if you provoke Him to do that, what you're inviting Him to do are those things that are mentioned in chapter 10, verses 6 through 11, where Israel partook and they played around with the Lord's things, and the Lord was provoked to jealousy, and many of them died. Many of them were diseased by the judgment of the Lord. And the fact is, brethren, you're not stronger than He is. He wins. You don't win. You say, well, I can stand. No, you can't. So as we prepare our hearts for this table, let's just review ourselves. Does this table communicate saving grace to us? The answer is no. But is this table irreverent? I mean, is there just like, well, who cares if I partake of it or who cares if I don't? Is that the right attitude? The answer to that is no. Is there a gravity to it? Yes, because who's here? Jesus Christ is here. Is there a fellowship that occurs between all of us as we partake of that one element and that one drink? The answer is yes. And the blessing, I mentioned about the saving, that there is some saving. That saving, that edification occurs not by the partaking of the bread, but by remembering His words. It's the words that feed us. It's His words that are meat. It's His words that are drink indeed. And so, brethren, as we turn our hearts to this table, let us put our own heart into proper harmony with His heart, understanding how beautiful that fellowship with Him and among us really is as we remember His atonement. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Brother Bob, you can come and prepare.